That's the fundamental problem. We've become a kleptocracy where the elites are robbing us blind.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. That was Floyd Brown, author and founder of the Western Journal. And this is the counterpunch to all of the lies of the mainstream horror media. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for clicking play. It's wonderful to have you all back, guys. It's Sean from SGT Report here with a returning guest, Floyd Brown. He's an author and founder of the Western Journal. His most recent book, Counterpunch, is the antidote to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. We most recently had Floyd on 22 weeks ago, believe it or not. It's far too long, and I'm glad he's back. Floyd, how are you, sir?
Oh, it's great to be back with you. Has it really been that long?
Wow. I believe so. 22 weeks. Let's take a look here. I don't even see the date here on Rumble, but the last one was called They Are America's Nightmare. And we pretty much broke that down to mean the Uniparty, not just the deep state DNC, but the rhinos as well. And in my view, Kevin McCarthy. Where do you stand right now on Kevin McCarthy? Is this guy actually going to do anything he promised to do?
You want the short answers? No. we can talk a little bit about it. I mean, the truth was that, made agreements with the Freedom Caucus that he's not living by now. This impeachment, this so-called impeachment that they're launching really isn't an impeachment. It's just kind of a kabuki theater, which is what these Republicans are so good at. As we talked about before, it really is when it comes to Washington, D.C., we do have a uniparty. Now, we also have some great, local officials that are Republican. That's one of the problems I have when I use a blanket. Hey, the entire Republican Party is a uniparty, because at the local, at the state level, in some of the state legislatures, we have some really great people that are doing their jobs and are fighting back for us. But when it comes to the Washington, D.C. based Republican Party, they are deeply compromised, and they are, I believe, captive of the permanent bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. And not functioning in the benefit of the citizenry. And there's so many examples of it, whether it's what's going on with us sending all of our money to Ukraine, or the way that John McCain flipped on Obamacare at the last minute to protect it when Republicans told us for years they were going to repeal it. There's just so many examples of where the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, all these continuing resolutions would be a third example, where the Republicans and the Democrats are like this. You can't find any space between them, because when the big questions happen, they fall in line and they all protect Washington, D.C.
Well, that's right. And I think we're all getting mighty fed up with it. Another great example of it is the Bush rhinos, the Bushies down in Texas, joining with the demon rats to try to impeach Ken Paxton with absolutely zero evidence. Zero evidence. That can only happen in a banana republic.
Well, evidence has not been their strong suit. They impeached Donald Trump twice with no evidence. And now that they're talking about impeaching Joe Biden, the Democrats all run around and say there's no evidence. And it fundamentally, Sean, has to do with really they're using different definitions for evidence. So, like, for example, when the Biden people run around now and say, hey, there's no evidence, what they're actually saying is there is no evidence that has been proven in a court of law. There's lots of factual information about, Biden has been up to. They have a lot of documents. I mean, a lot of them came from Hunter's own laptop. You know, we know he's been using these pseudonyms to send emails. There's lots of information, but when they say evidence, they want And they hold it to this high standard of evidence that's been proven in a court of law. Now, when it comes to Donald Trump, they change the definition of evidence. And, you know, anything that's been talked about on the internet is fair game for the Democrats. So they're constantly changing and switching the definitions to these words. And the whole intent is to confuse people and to benefit their side. But I think the greatest danger, the greatest danger that Americans face right now, in my humble opinion, is that the government no longer respects the United States Constitution. And we've seen this a number of different ways. I mean, a great example from just last week was this governor in the state of New Mexico who decided that she had the ability and the power and the authority to, quote, ban the Second Amendment, which is in the Constitution, for a period of 30 days based on what she's calling a health crisis. And I mean, that doesn't comport with any of the long-term constitutional law that is the law of the land as articulated by the arbiters of the Constitution, and that is the United States Supreme Court. So she is way out there, but her purpose is to strip those people in New Mexico of their constitutional right to the Second Amendment. And her hope is that she will begin a process by which others follow her. And California is already talking about doing it. Governor Newsom out there, where they will create these areas of, quote, health emergency, where they strip citizens of their Second Amendment rights. But the most insidious, in my mind, is big tech, together with the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA, and these different alphabet agencies coming together and colluding to essentially strip you and me and all of us of our First Amendment rights. And those rights include a number of different things. First of all, it's our right to free speech, but it's also our right to petition the government, our right to worship how and when and where we want to worship. The First Amendment covers a lot of different areas of free expression. And instead, like a fascist state or a Marxist state, they are attempting to control the language inside the public square to say what is acceptable speech and what isn't acceptable speech, and to, in essence, strip those of us that are skeptical of a lot of government policy from being able to speak out against it.
Well, I want to shine the light on a tyrant that you just called attention to, because, you know, the video of her seething and foaming at the mouth, essentially, as a little tyrant, and her ego-filled behavior when she issued an executive order, an emergency executive order, to take away your Second Amendment rights. She was universally condemned. I mean, the AG said he wouldn't enforce it. The sheriff said he wouldn't enforce it. The media even, some Democrats even turned against this woman. So let me just ask you, what makes tyrants like this tick? Tyrants come in all different shapes, sizes, and colors. Some are men, some are women, some are black, some are white. This demon creature happens to be a white woman, but just like Katie Hobbs in Arizona, just like Kathy Hochul and Gretchen Whitmer, they all seem to be cut from the same exact cloth, and they're all demon rats. What accounts for their moral bankruptcy? She has to know what she's doing is evil, but she doesn't care. She literally didn't care.
Yeah. Well, and she's supposed to be an attorney. So she is at least supposed to have some modicum of training about the Constitution. Presumably she's taken a constitutional law course in her training to be an attorney. But you're right. At least from her public pronouncements, she doesn't care. She doesn't care about the Constitution. But
the through line with people like Katie Hobbs is they're power hungry and they don't care. They'll steal elections to get the power.
Yeah, but I think fundamentally they think that they're smarter than the rest of us, and that's what empowers them. They are able to act in these dictatorial ways because they are, you know, the chosen, and they are smarter than the rest of us. And, you know, they say, well, I was elected governor of the state and I'm the chief executive officer of this state. And so it's a combination of the arrogance of having the position together with the arrogance of thinking, well, I'm smarter than everybody else. And, you know, power corrupts, and the greater power corrupts more, or absolute power corrupts completely. We know that men throughout history, men and women that have had, you know, unbelievable power, have been corrupted by that. And, you know, whether it's Stalin in Soviet Russia that literally starved the Ukrainians to death and sent, you know, hundreds of thousands, actually millions of Russians to the Siberian gulags where they perished. And, you know, whether it was Hitler and his henchmen that sent people to perish in the concentration camps and the work camps of the Nazi regime, or whether it was, there's been dictators throughout history, even Napoleon, who literally decimated the population, at least the male population of the French state. France still hasn't bounced back from the killing fields that killed so many Frenchmen during the time of Napoleon. So I always boil this down to spiritual issues. Yeah. And Satan, it says in scripture, comes to kill and destroy. And the reason he does is because anything God loves, Satan hates. And God loves people. First of all, he created us. But then he also, after our sin, he came to earth in the form of Christ and sacrificed himself in order to save us. So, you know, God has made tremendous sacrifices for us, and he loves us. And as a result of that, Satan, who is his enemy, hates us. And so, you know, whenever Satan gets control of someone, that person can spiral out of control and become a mass murderer before you know it, if that person has that mindset together with this extreme power. And, this governor, she knows that it'll only be law-abiding citizens that would ever obey her orders anyway. I mean, the criminals are going to continue to be criminals. They're going to continue to carry guns. They're going to continue to threaten people. And, I was actually on a show yesterday and someone was saying, well, guns are evil. Guns do nothing but kill. And that's just couldn't be further from the truth. First of all, guns are just like any other tool. I lost an aunt when I was a young boy, and she was murdered, and she wasn't murdered with a firearm. She was murdered with a rock. Her killer just used a great big rock and smashed her head with it. And in that sense, a rock is as deadly as a firearm or an automobile. We saw these two young guys that killed this police officer out in Vegas, ran him down, mm-hmm. put the whole thing on social media. The vehicle was extremely dangerous. So vehicles are killers. Knives, people get stabbed. I mean, you know, it's the rot in the person that causes the murder, not the tool that's used. And I think that's the failure of liberalism is not to treat what is the rot inside of man. We have stripped God out of our schools. We've stripped God out of our society. We've essentially stripped God out of all of our entertainment. Is it any, you know, surprise that people are running around and ignoring the law of God and marauding their fellow citizens? It's not a surprise.
Well, you know, in our last interview, you said in every empire, in every single empire that's ever been, the emperor eventually declares himself God. And we see this behavior from these same four women I mentioned, governors of these states, one of which I think stole the election, Katie Hobbs, and she just doesn't care. But that was the other through line I wanted to bring up, is their godlessness. They don't fear the God of the Bible. They just don't. Demon rats in general just don't. They worship at the altar of abortion. Many of them must be atheists, I guess. And this explains so much of their anti-constitutional behavior, their tyrannical behavior. It's complete godlessness. And if you look at what's going on in California, there's an exodus from the state because these people eventually destroy everything. And so now we're seeing, I think it's almost a civil war. It's a fight for citizens fleeing from blue states to red states. But the problem, Floyd, as you know, is a lot of those people fleeing will bring bad ideas with them. Right. Will they ever learn? I think they're just going to pollute the red states.
Well, but I do want to say one thing positive about what we're seeing in the reaction to the governor in New Mexico.
Yeah, do not comply. I love it.
So one of the things I talk extensively about in my book, Counterpunch, is what is known as the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. And this is, I believe, the solution to a lot of the problems we have in America. And in essence, the sheriff came out and said, I'm not going to obey the order. Okay. And he has a right to do that. He has a right to do it because he is saying, under his reading of the Constitution, this is an unconstitutional act and I'm not going to enforce it. Well, every lesser magistrate in America has essentially the same power. So, you know, if you're a school board official, you can say, I don't care what kind of mandates we're getting from the state government. I don't care what kind of mandates we're getting from the federal government. We're going to ignore CRT. We're going to ignore this radical LGBTQ training curriculum that you're trying to force down the throat of our local public school. That's an example of the lesser magistrate protecting the citizenry. And this can be done on a whole host of issues. And, you know, I really encourage local officials to resist the authorities when, in fact, they are trying to foist upon us unconstitutional measures. And the more that local officials fight back, the more non-compliance there is, the better we're going to be. It's one of the reasons, Sean, that the federal government has been so busy arming and creating federal police forces is because they don't trust the local police. And in fact, you know, this whole defund the local police movement, the left was doing this while at the same time, you know, they're hiring 89,000 IRS agents that they plan on arming and giving guns to. So they're, in essence, what they're trying to do is swap out the local police for this federal police that will obey the federal government. And it's a very dangerous trend, and every state should be resisting it.
Well, the other thing that we all learn from these types of things and the behaviors of Michelle Grisham and Biden and all of these would-be tyrants is that they love to issue emergency orders. They think they can get away with unconstitutional tyranny because of an emergency. So the COVID emergency led to the lockdowns and the mail-in ballots and a stolen election. In the case of Michelle Grisham, her emergency was a public safety emergency. Thereby, she wanted to ban the guns of decent Americans, thereby banning their ability to defend themselves, all under the guise of an emergency. And the good news is, you're right, the great news is people resisted. Other local magistrates resisted. What does that tell us we need to do when the next lockdown 2.0 comes from the Biden administration? By the way, I just saw something really brilliant printed about the Biden administration the other day. It was this: all they have left is gaslighting the American people. They don't have any good policies. All they have left is gaslighting us. But what are these emergencies teaching us about lockdown 2.0?
Gotten very adept at gaslighting us, haven't they? No, I agree with you. We have to resist. I mean, we know that masks don't work. The science is very clear on that. We know that the COVID jab didn't work. And all of the science says that it probably actually makes people more susceptible to COVID. I mean, as the science continues to unfold on the COVID jab, the story gets just more frightful by the day. And so these local magistrates need to resist. Now, the federal government really never had the ability to force mask mandates except in the federal transportation system. So, you know, they forced these, airline mask mandates, and the federal government controlled those. But most of the additional mask mandates were all local mandates that came as a result of governors following federal guidelines and declaring these mandates. And I think in the future, a lot of governors are not going to go along because, we've seen how wrong these policies are and how damaging they are especially to children, who seem to be having most of the pain inflicted on them from both the COVID jab and the mask mandate. So I'm hopeful. And we actually got some pretty good litigation protection also. A pastor by the name of Cheon out in Pasadena, California, got all the way to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court struck down Newsom's ability to close churches. And I think that pretty well sets it straight that no governor anywhere can close a church in the future. So that was a good piece of law that came down from the Supreme Court afterwards. But boy, as we were going through it, Sean, it was a nightmare, wasn't it?
Well, it was, especially if you live in a blue state and you've got a tyrannical governor who says he's got the power to shut down your business while Target and Walmart and Costco stay open. Absolutely illogical, makes no sense. And if we fall for it again, well, I guess that's on us, guys. We can't fall for this crap again. Here's the website, thewesternjournal.com. I want to turn our attention to the weaponization of our government against Donald J. Trump, against Alex Jones, against free speech, against American citizens. The DOJ has noted that the biggest threat to the domestic homeland is, wait for it, guys, no, it's not an open border, it's white people. It's Christians. So let's talk about the targeting of Donald J. Trump. Jack Smith wants to issue a gag order so the man can't defend himself in the public square. What do you make of Jack Smith?
During the middle of a presidential campaign in which he is the leading candidate, and the polls say he would beat Biden. And I mean, I think he's ahead of DeSantis by almost 60 points. I mean, he's the presumptive Republican nominee. And it's just it's crazy that the Republicans in Congress are allowing this to go on. So that's one of the reasons why I support 100% shutting down the U.S. government. And I believe that the Republicans should come together and shut it down. And they should just say, we're going to shut it down until these attacks on Donald Trump and his supporters end. And, every bit of money that Biden and the Biden administration and the DOJ and the FBI is using to go after people like me and like Donald Trump and like these other people that have been around Trump. All of that money is being appropriated by Republicans in Congress. And people need to understand that. None of these Republicans are standing up to this, and they have all of the power right now. They should say, hey, you know what? We'll do a continuing resolution as long as, you know, you shut down this special counsel, you shut down, you know, Fannie Willis and these different prosecutions. They need to be shut down, and the federal government should not be paying for them. And Congress has the power to do that. And they should just shut down the whole government until we can get those things stopped.
Have you ever seen such bold-faced, blatant tyranny in your life? Just think about this. So,
not in America. I've seen it around the world.
Right.
I mean, you've seen it in Cuba. You've seen it in Soviet Russia. You've seen it in communist China. You've seen it in places like Nicaragua and Venezuela, but never in the United States of America. And in fact, it's so bad, our State Department would probably be protesting it if it wasn't happening in America.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm driving at, because we know they stole the last election. In 2020, there was a coup, and you're not allowed to question the coup. If you are, they'll come after you. And I can't believe the bold-faced tyranny. They won't even allow RFK Jr. to have Secret Service protection. And there was a guy who just showed up at an event the other day masquerading as a marshal, and he was fully armed. He wasn't a marshal. Who knows what that man was there for? But Biden, the puppet in chief, whose own son calls him Pedo Peter, refuses to give RFK Jr. Secret Service protection, refuses to debate RFK Jr. The Democrat Party is circling the wagons to prevent people like RFK Jr. from running at all, just like they did to Ron Paul, just like the rhinos did to Ron Paul back in, what was that, 2014?
Right.
No, 2016.
And actually, it's what they also did to Bernie Sanders when he ran against Hillary Clinton. I mean, I think it's pretty clear the Democratic Party was with Bernie Sanders, but they used the power of, you know, the process and shut Bernie Sanders down and stole the election from him.
Well, the good news is RFK Jr. won't be silent like Bernie. And he's threatening to run as an independent. I think he should.
You
should get on the Donald J. Trump ticket. I think that'd be an interesting ticket.
But I think that would be a great ticket. I think that that would be a ticket for America, crossing party lines. And I think that, some of the greatest fighters for the people are former Democrats. And, Donald Trump was a former lifelong Democrat. General Flynn was a former lifelong Democrat. Robert Kennedy Jr., a former, he's still a Democrat, but it looks like he's going to be a former Democrat because they're throwing him out of the party. But these are people that care about the citizenry. See, the great perversion, Sean, is that our government is no longer focused on the people. It's been captured by the elites. So all of these great policy initiatives, they financially favor the elites. And so, COVID's a great example. You had a $3 pill, an ivermectin pill, that could stop COVID in its tracks. But instead, we adopted a policy of the vaccine, which minted 40 brand new billionaires and made Pfizer something like $100 billion. I mean, outrageous amounts of money. And all of this money was directly transferred from the federal government to these corporations and people. It wasn't even like, we all stood up and said, hey, we want the vaccine and we're willing to pay for it. No, it was straight government transfer payments to these rich people.
Fascism.
Same thing with Ukraine. Ukraine is all about the military industrial complex getting back to what it does well, and that is create armaments that are blown up in wars, that kill people. That's why, really, since Eisenhower warned us about the military industrial complex, America has not won a single war, not one. And that's because, you know, the reasoning for war has shifted. It's now to use the maximum amount of dollars to spend the most we can to enrich the military industrial complex.
Yeah.
You know, and just damn the citizenry. And, you know, when Obamacare was passed, and this is, you know, something that I try to explain to people, it was the pharmaceutical interests that killed Hillary Care, because she, you know, was going to control the outrageous prices of a lot of these pharmaceutical treatments. And Obama was able to get Obamacare passed because he went preemptively to the pharmaceutical industry and said, hey, guys, I'm going to give you whatever you want. Just let me socialize medicine. Just make it so that every American's medical chart can be read here at the federal government. And so what in essence we had was you then had a pact between the pharmaceutical industry and the government that enriched and grew both of them. And this is the problem with policy now. It's all about benefiting the elites, and it's not about helping the citizens.
Yeah, it's for profit. They've monetized everything. The for-profit prison system, for-profit wars. Dick Cheney, the former CEO of Halliburton. They go into Iraq. What happens? No bid contracts to help rebuild Iraq. To who? Halliburton. So the whole system is absolutely corrupt to the core.
And Jim Biden, who, you know, got a whole lot of those contracts to help rebuild in Iraq. So, I mean, the elites are benefiting and making lots of money. The third one that just drives me crazy is the whole, quote, ESG movement or green energy, Sean, because, you know, I'm all for green energy if it can compete in the marketplace, but it can't. And so what instead has happened is you've had the federal government step up and say, we are going to subsidize this stuff and we're going to make it so, even though it's not economic. And so they end up pouring billions of dollars into the pockets of wealthy people to subsidize these, quote, green technologies. And it all comes at higher electric prices for the average citizen, higher heating prices for the average citizen, higher gasoline prices for the average citizen. And so the average citizen ends up paying the price over and over and over, and the elites get rich. Yeah. That's the fundamental problem. We've become a kleptocracy where the elites are robbing us blind.
Well, it's never been more obvious that it's a looting. It's just an all-out assault and a total looting. And, you know, one cautionary warning we need to share with folks is that if they come after cash, which they are, if they introduce a mandatory central bank digital currency, which they might, it's already beginning in Australia. The fifth largest bank has announced digital-only transactions. They're going to phase out cash, checks, and phone payments in all 80 branches starting next year. I think they're going to have a little tougher time with that in our nation, in our country, because we have 50 states. And if you look at Florida, DeSantis has already said a CBDC will be dead on arrival. So we must not comply, because this, what I just described for folks, is that's the last card. That's total slavery.
It is total slavery, because the minute they control with a digital currency, then they will have the ability to say, uh-oh, you want to give to this church? Well, we've, you know, marked the social score of this church as not positive for America. So we're not going to allow you to give your money to this church, or we're not going to allow you to give your money to this candidate, or we're not going to allow you to give your money to this cause, or, you know, buy this vehicle because it consumes too much, you know, gasoline or diesel. So the minute they have the ability to have programmable digital currency, then we are all slaves, 100%. slaves. And it's frightening, but they have all of the technology to do it. And when has this group of power hungry individuals not taken whatever power they have the technology to take?
Well, that's right. And
it's a bad
in our last
track
interview,
record.
I know. In our last interview, you nailed it. You said in every empire, the emperor eventually declares himself to be God. And that's kind of what we see out of Pedo Joe. I mean, the guy can't walk. He can't talk. His own kids call him a pedophile. His own son, Hunter, called him Pedo Peter. His own daughter was afraid to get in the shower when he was home for fear he might get in there with her. And now we have a border invasion. A record number of illegal migrants flood across the open border in Eagle Pass, Texas. Thousands streaming through from Panama on the way to the United States. And Sleepy Joe and his administration have nothing left but gaslighting us, telling us it's not happening. Here's a question for you. What authority would Ken Paxton have to begin indictment measures against Biden for his treason?
Yeah, well, you know, he has every right to enforce Texas law. The problem is, and this is why the left works so hard to defeat Carrie Lake, you know, the chief executive officer in Texas, Governor Abbott, has not taken the tough measures that need to be taken at the border. And so that's why I believe the elites work so hard to defeat Carrie Lake, because Carrie Lake had the courage, the tenacity, the stick-to-itiveness that she would have gotten control of her border here in Arizona. And so now Ken Paxton is the chief law enforcement official in the state, but in terms of proactively engaging in building a wall, I believe, you know, Governor Abbott has the right to build a wall himself. I believe the governor of Arizona has the right to build a wall, and Carrie Lake would have built the wall. It's one of the reasons why the Biden administration wanted to get the unbuilt materials for the border wall, liquidated as quickly as they did. And they took, millions and millions of dollars worth of construction materials and liquidated it for pennies on the dollar, because they wanted to get all of that steel away from the border, where someone like a Carrie Lake might use it to actually build a functioning border wall. And so I don't know exactly what Ken Paxton can do, but I'm sure he's looking at it. You know, I think one of the reasons they came after Ken Paxton so hard was because he believes in election integrity. Yeah. And he was pushing hard to make sure that Texas elections were secure. But remember, he was also the one that was involved in having Texas sue Pennsylvania in a suit that I thought should have gone to the Supreme Court and which didn't, where they, I believe have a right to look at the presidential election in another state if they believe that outright fraud has been committed. And you're absolutely right. When you look at Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Nevada, in these states, it is very clear to me that those elections were fraudulent in nature, and that Donald Trump was in fact elected president.
100%. And the gaslighting requires us to not discuss that. The gaslighting would say that we're domestic terrorists and election deniers if we even question the most fraudulent election in U.S. history, where Sleepy Joe won the presidency with the fewest counties ever and got the most votes. It's impossible.
Yeah. So, and that word denier, it shows the underlying anti-Semitism of the left, because the word denier has traditionally been used for quote Holocaust deniers.
Sure.
And so they had to find a word that is, you know, so bad and so nasty that, to say us questioning elections is anything like the Holocaust. I mean,
I'm proud to say I'm a vaccine efficacy denier, because the COVID vaccine is more likely to give you death than protection from the boogeyman virus.
But You know, you look at the choice of their words, and it's so manipulative.
No, it's completely manipulative. And as we round out the conversation, I want your opinion. We need your wisdom on this. As we face an open border invasion, energy independence sabotage, hundreds of billions for Ukraine, nothing for the people of Maui, World War III with Russia is at our doorsteps, and the Declaration of Independence says this, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. What does that even mean at this point when there was a coup in 2020 and we all know it?
Well, it means that we do have the right to alter it and to change it. And we have that right under our current constitution to completely change government through constitutional amendments. The one thing I've been saying to people is we still have our freedoms. They have been assaulted. And, you know, we can say, Sean, that you and I don't have the same First Amendment rights we used to, because we could never, for example, post this particular program on YouTube. Google would immediately, you know, take it down and cancel us. But we do still have alternate ways to get it out. So one of the things I've been encouraging people to do is to exercise those First Amendment rights. You know, I daily exercise my First Amendment rights by saying those things that I believe, by speaking those things that I believe. I am protecting my First Amendment right by utilizing it. And I encourage every single American that can hear me to do the same. Tell somebody why you think the election was a fraud. Tell people why you think the COVID jab didn't work and doesn't work, and why they shouldn't get the booster. You know, use those rights you have. You have Second Amendment rights. If you don't own a firearm, buy one. Get yourself some training. Carry your firearm. Get yourself a concealed weapons permit. Fortunately, here in Arizona, we can carry a concealed weapon without a permit. Exercise those freedoms if you live in a state like Arizona. And so that's how we protect them, is by exercising them, and then by also not complying with regulations and rules that we think limit those. So that's my number one advice. And to the lesser magistrates, to the sheriffs out there, there are 3,100 counties in America, and most of them have sheriffs. All of those sheriffs are the chief law enforcement official in their jurisdiction. If they see something going wrong, they can arrest someone, and they should. And they can arrest election officials that they think are stealing elections. And, you know, if you're a prosecutor in one of those jurisdictions, then you can bring charges against someone that is violating the constitutional rights of the people that are in your county. This is that whole example of the lesser magistrates pushing forward and vindicating the rights that they have under the Constitution of the United States. So part of the reason we have trouble, Sean, is because for many years, we didn't protect those rights through the utilization of them. And now, you know, we're in a really dire situation, and it's more difficult for us to vindicate them by utilizing them. But every American has got to step up and be a part of the solution. One person, Donald Trump, is never going to save America. One person, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is not going to save America. It is time for every one of us, all of us, working together to save this country, to save our Constitution. And, you know, if you don't know how to do it, get my book, Counterpunch, because I lay out plans for you to do it in your local community right there.
We're going to find out how to get that book, guys. In the book, Floyd delves into the Uniparty, the deep state, the DNC and rhinos. They're all working together to bring down the country. And good patriots like Floyd Brown are standing in the gap, trying to prevent the takedown of our republic. Just the last word, I guess it's good news then. It's a blessing that Michelle Grisham, that tyrant governor in New Mexico, tried her little trial balloon there, right? They want to see what they can get away with by just declaring an emergency. Therefore, you have no rights. She literally said, you really don't have concrete constitutional rights. She basically said just that. The good news is the Constitution won that battle. The Constitution won the war in that state. The sheriff stood with the people. The AG stood with the people. And even other Democrats pointed at her and said, she's nuts. You can't do that. That's absolutely unconstitutional. So the good news is, I guess we still do have a Constitution. We still have a Constitution, Floyd. That's the good
news. And elections are basically a local county by county function. And each of these counties can reclaim their elections in their local jurisdictions. And the truth is that working together, we can reclaim this country for our Constitution and for our constitutional freedoms and for our own future happiness. But you're right. It's a big, deep state we're going to have to slay. But I think we can do it if we all work together and we all get awake.
Yeah, people are waking up in droves. I like to say that. I think it's true. Certainly, there are NPCs and people that can't think critically that will never wake up. But I always think Jimmy Dore over on YouTube is a great example of a Democrat who can think. And when they can think and they're intellectually honest, they see the same things we see. And I love it. Jimmy Dore. I always give Jimmy Dore a shout out because I think he does a great job. We're at thewesternjournal.com. Jen Paskey suggests sympathy is in order for heartbroken Joe amid Hunter's legal woes. See, all they have left is gaslighting us, friends.
That's Floyd, it.
How do people find your excellent book, Counterpunch?
Well, it's actually still available at Amazon, or you can get it. You can get it at anybody that sells books. So Counterpunch, Floyd Brown Counterpunch. Just search it online and it'll come right up for you.
All right, guys, our guest has been Floyd Brown. He's an author. The book is Counterpunch. The website, thewesternjournal.com. Floyd, thanks so much for your time.
Let's not wait so long next time.
No, absolutely. We'll get you scheduled again post-haste. All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. You know how much we appreciate you, and I'll remind you every single day for free, you can get the antidote to corporate propaganda over at thewesternjournal.com and sgtreport.com. That is the antidote to corporate propaganda and all those pesky Mockingbird mainstream media lies, friends. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
Government in and of itself is just a lawless mafia. And if they don't like you, I mean, just ask Trump. I mean, he'll probably fill you in. They're just going after people they don't like, pure and simple. This is mafia tactics.